Sound.org.
And support for WMNF comes from our members in UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. And support for WMNF comes from those members and Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. This is community radio from West Central Florida, and you're listening to Executive Session. This is an open forum, a discussion on the United States Executive Branch. That's your executive branch. Those are your employees. And we like to keep that in mind as we go by, as things go by. Basically, the discussion remains, we insist on civility. And we do that because we are convinced that radio can be the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663 by phone. That'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox this afternoon. He will answer your call, get your name, where you're calling from, might even take a word or two about what it is that you want to say. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook. And if you like and follow the page, you can see the links to the material we're discussing on any given day and join the discussion there. So, you all might have wanted to stay buckled up since last Thursday. We have discovered that the FBI opened an investigation into whether Donald J. Trump, and this is a quote, was working on behalf of Russia against U.S. interests. This is from CNN, and a quote, at the time the FBI opened a probe into President Donald Trump for possible obstruction of justice after he fired FBI Director James Comey, counterintelligence agents were investigating why Trump was acting in ways that seemed to benefit Russia, according to a source familiar with the matter. Furthermore, we hear that the president has taken extraordinary measures to contain the content of his meetings with President Vladimir Putin, up to and including confiscating interpreters' notes. Now, this is another quote. This is from Vanity Fair. Trump's 2017 meeting with Putin in Hamburg, also attended by then-Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, ended with the president instructing an interpreter not to discuss what had transpired with other administration officials. Now, this is not just don't talk to the press. This is don't talk to the rest of the cabinet. The Hamburg meeting is one of five notable off-record meetings Trump has held with Putin, although it is the only one, only known instance where the president confiscated interpreters' notes. And finally, here we have Newsweek citing Carl Bernstein, and this is a quote, that he's been told that special counsel Robert Mueller's report will show how, not if, how Donald Trump helped Russia, quote, destabilize the United States. Now, this is quoted out of Newsweek. So, the question of the day is, what's going on here? You can reach us to have your say. So, do you think it is possible that the president of the United States is operating as an agent for the Russians? Do you think if he's actually acting in Russia's interests, does he know that? There's this distinction between a flack and a dupe. And we may want to discuss that distinction in regard to this this particular executive branch. So, 813-239-9663 will get you into contact with Mr. Frank Knox this afternoon. You can reach us at dj@wmnf.org or at 813-433-0885. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
In session for Monday afternoon here in executive session, opening the week with a very, very powerful list of revelations and reports that have been published since we last closed the session on Thursday, that the FBI, we are now told, at one point opened an investigation into whether the, Donald Trump was working on behalf of Russia. So, you know, what do you think of all that? What do you think of, what do you think is going on here? And we're going to talk to Lowell in Sarasota. Good afternoon, Lowell. You're in executive session, and you have the floor this afternoon.
Hi, John. How you doing?
So far, not bad. You know.
Yeah. Wait until things see them.
Yeah, we'll know more later.
Yeah. So my question to you is to turn your question on its head and say, would it be possible to not believe that he is not working on behalf of Russia? It's to me, it's been obvious. Like, if I was a detective writer or something, I'd be like, this is a dumb story. It's so obvious. You know, the criminal comes out and says, I'm a criminal. I steal cars. And then the police are all like scratching their heads like, well, what do you think that criminal's up to? Is he a criminal?
Somebody stole a car. Who should we talk to?
Yeah, right. I'm confused. You know, I don't understand. I mean, you know, I'm thrilled to see that the FBI was on the ball. And I shouldn't be surprised, but you know, there's a lack of information coming from that area. But yeah.
Well, of course, the president was asked about this on Fox, and Jeanine Pirro asked him about it, and she was kind of being sarcastic. And instead of saying no, he was, why, sir, I'm insulted that you'd even ask. You know, it was like, excuse me. The proper answer for somebody who isn't doing that is no.
Right. Ask me now, John, if I've ever stolen a car in my life.
Yeah, have you ever stolen a car?
No, I never stolen a car.
See how easy that was? What? I'm insulted you would even ask. I can't imagine what you have in mind, sir.
Man of Boppa, this isn't...
Exactly.
Steal a car.
Exactly. So, you know, when we find out that the Trump campaign or the transition team had some 100 contacts with Russians, and when we find out that... somebody, is it his son or his son-in-law, who had to revise his security thing just like, what, 3-4 times?
Oh, the application. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I was in the Department of Homeland Security, I am reasonably sure that had I gone back into the office and said, Excuse me, what is it, an FS-86? It's a security document. That, you know, remember that thing that it took me like 2 hours to fill out where I had to put the name and address of my elementary school? That? Yeah, would you hand that back over here? I need to revise that. I think my stuff would have been in an archive box and I would have been escorted to the door.
Exactly. I got a top secret clearance a long time ago where you fill out every house you ever lived in.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, can I change my answer?
Exactly. Oh, I did talk to, Russians. You wanted to know about Russians. Oh, I see. Well, I need to do some revision.
Yeah.
The sound of the bell ringing lingers in the air.
Exactly, sir.
All right. Listen, thanks for kicking us off. It's been fun, Lowell.
We'll
talk again. All right. 813-239-9663. A little lighthearted kickoff to this conversation that we're having, because basically what we're talking about is a potential descent into some of the very darkest of possibilities with regard to the president's relationship with Russia. I mean, he said, you know, yeah, we want to get along with Russia, but they're, you know, what motivation would you have? If you were the president of the United States, what motivation would you have following a meeting with another head of state, a head of state that the intelligence community in your country has told you did everything they could to meddle in the election? What motivation would you have to see to it that nobody in your country heard about the content of the meetings you were having with the president of that country? What motivation could you have to instructing your interpreter not to even discuss the particulars of the meeting with administration officials, like, say, for instance, your cabinet? 813-239-9663. And we talked to Dale in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Dale. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Good afternoon. Well, the first caller took my point. But, you know, it's just amazing to me that it takes a news story to come out to explain something that we've all known all along and all the while. You know, and when he goes behind doors of Putin, Putin's giving his marching orders. He's doing the same thing that Hitler did when Hitler took over Germany. You know, and it's just amazing how our elected officials just look the other way because of this guy. Question is, what does he have on the rest of us that continue to look the other way?
Well, go ahead.
And we continue to give him credibility when he has none. You know, what is our problem? That's what I want to know. What's our problem? Why can't we wake up and smell the coffee burning?
I think that in part based on what I saw in the midterms, I believe there is a certain amount of wakefulness happening. I think that people are beginning to be activated to the point where not only are they expressing themselves in, social media, but they're actually headed out to the polls. And we have, democracy is a peculiar thing. It's fragile and it's fractious and it's loud and it's, you know, inharmonious. And people in a democracy they have the privilege of making really, really bad choices.
I agree with you there.
The beauty of the system is that they also have the mechanism for putting the correction in.
Mm.
See, so we're going to find out, you know, the two thirds of the country basically doesn't believe this guy. Just
got a situation where the tail is wagging the dog, though. That's
yeah. We were talking earlier, and our next election is seems like it might be a test of whether or not a very, very highly motivated and organized and activated minority can impose its will on a less organized, less cohesive majority.
Okay.
See, I don't, and I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. I know that I expect Mr. Trump's base to show up in large numbers, and to vote pretty much in lockstep.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether or not the rest of us who have the privilege of voting for third party candidates or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whether we can be cohesive enough to prevail over such a highly activated minority.
True.
So, you know, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate, you know, and I think one day you might need to do a show on the actual numbers of people that actually vote, because only one-third of the voting population, the eligible voting population, selects our elected officials on any given election.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the population sit on the sideline.
Yeah.
And when they broadcast numbers, election numbers and everything, they leave that particular caveat out.
Yeah.
And only one-third of the population is actually participating, even though they broadcast like 100% are. But it's only one-third doing all the work, and two-thirds of people sitting on the sideline doing nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what. There has never been a more stark demonstration of the consequences of elections than we have witnessed over the last 2 years.
That's true.
So, And I think that basically what's called for, we need to swarm the polls. It needs to look like World War Z out there at the polling places.
I agree. I would love to see it happen.
we need people climbing up other people's backs to get in the door.
Yeah.
So and we shall see. I don't know, Dale. We're going to find out. Democracy represents an ongoing possibility for threat. but you know what I mean. We could make bad decisions at any given moment.
Well, I'm praying something breaks because I'm so exhausted of listening, talking and listening about this idiot. And I can't wait to see him walk out and escort out in handcuffs. But that should have been done 2 years ago. I mean, because it's clear that it is a straight agent, not a double agent. He is a single agent for the Russians.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. It's unquestionable.
All right. Listen, I'm glad that we got to talk, and I hope that we get to talk again. And
absolutely.
We'll see you next time.
All right, thank you.
Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF. This is 88.5 FM. The president has denied that he is working with the Russians. He has simply said, he did finally come out and say no. The question in some people's minds is, if you were advancing Russia's agenda, would you definitely know it? I mean, would you if your participation in politics essentially advanced the Russian agenda? Would you know that? Would you have to be an agent in order to do that, or could you just do that, and, you know, because you thought that Putin liked you? 813-239-9663. Elizabeth, good afternoon. You're in executive session here on WMNF. Welcome to Monday afternoon.
Hi, Sunday afternoon it is. That's the beginning of a whole new week. Well, 1 week, 1 day into it. Going to be any better this go round?
You know, I don't know. I think when we start hearing stories about one of the nation's, one of the world's premier investigative agencies being so alarmed by somebody's behavior that they start looking into whether they're actually acting as a foreign agent, that we've kind of crossed a threshold.
One would hope.
Yeah. And
it took a damn while, too.
Well, that's the thing. I actually think that's a good thing because it's not what it seems to indicate is that these things are not capricious or precipitous, that they are triggered, that you have to do something in order to get the FBI to go snuffling around, you know.
True. Yes, that's quite right, John. I'm shooting off my mouth, as I usually do.
No, it's okay.
Which reminds me, I do not only talk to M&F, you know. I call everyone.
Oh, good.
What I discovered, I believe it was last week, is that the line that lets you speak to the White House, that's no longer open.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Somebody said something about making a complaint last week, and I said, you know, ordinarily I'd tell you to call the White House.
Uh-huh.
But the White House switchboard is shut down because of the shutdown.
No, they tell you very sweetly, we'll be open again in a while.
In a while.
Well, he didn't give any definite time.
Well, I don't think they can.
Well, no.
You know.
Lord, I mean, he can at least stop that without too much argument, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because there seems to be a kind of a winnowing process going on. It's, you know, well, we'll fund these people and we'll mm-hmm. fund those people. We'll give a little bit of money over here. And so that what you're seeing, it looks like what you're seeing is which are the most and least favored parts of the government?
Well, that's it at this particular time. Next week it may be different.
Well, that's of course, absolutely a possibility. It could be, you know, now you know that I served 4 years in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I am trying to figure out the logic of trying to exert leverage to build a 2,000-mile wall by not paying the people that protect 12,000 miles of coastline.
You know, that is a bit strange, isn't it? But
yeah,
maybe that gives you a view into the way the metal processes work. Can you tell me, or someone tell me, was the business that he did in Russia before he became president, was that profitable?
Or his family. Now, this is I believe it was one of his family who said that a substantial portion of their revenue came through Russia.
Okay.
And then there was also the generally considered situation that his business record rendered him unloanable. I think I just made up a word.
But it describes what you might say he probably was in business at that time.
Yeah, and that American banks actually would not do business with the Trump organization because of their record.
I have read that somewhere.
Yeah,
they just shut him off. They said no.
And where he went was overseas, and he went to Alpha Bank, and he went to Deutsche Bank, and he went to banks that are on Cyprus that are basically washing machines for Russian money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and real estate is widely known as a highly suitable vehicle for money laundering.
Oh yeah, Always has been.
True. So, you know, we don't, I don't know. I don't know. I think that Mr. Mueller at one point had rather pointedly suggested that certain records from Deutsche Bank show up at his place.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time ago, and I don't remember the specifics, but I think that, and Steve Bannon told the guy that wrote the book, what was it? I can't remember what, Fire and Fury, what was it called?
Yeah,
anyway, that he thought that what was going to, that Steve Bannon thought that what would take Donald Trump down was money laundering.
Well, that's the goodest thing as any, I guess.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know. Al Capone went to jail for tax evasion or something.
Yeah,
so,
uh-huh.
Anyway.
Is there any indication of when this Mueller report will be out?
I have started hearing people make noises like they expect this to happen in the next couple of months, February and March. I don't know how much credence to lend that. Mr. Mueller seems to be proceeding with...
judiciously, I think.
Yes, highly resolutely and yet extremely quietly.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll find out. We'll find out. And the release of that report is going to precipitate us into another maelstrom.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah. All right, Elizabeth, listen.
I don't go out anywhere, so it ain't going to bother me one way or another.
Okay. All right.
It'll be worth waiting for. Thank
Young lady, we'll talk again. And keep trying to call the White House. Let us know how it goes.
I'll let you know when it comes back on.
Okay.
If.
Okay. All right, Danny and Jack and Bob and Dave, we'll be right back in just a moment. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? When those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
Do you have closets or shelves filled with record albums that you've not listened to for years?
Just take those old records off the shelf.
We can find new homes for your old LPs. Donate them to WMNF for our annual record and CD sale coming in April. Bring your albums to the station, and for big collections in good condition, we will come for pickup. Call 813-238-8001 for more information.
All right. In our 40th year, WMNF presents an historic event with two of our all-time favorite artists, Drive-By Truckers and Lucinda Williams. This big concert takes place February 1st at Janus Live. Go to WMNF.org events for tickets and information. All right, back to the phones this afternoon. We are talking about, you know, last week on Thursday, we buckled up as we so very, very cautiously do on Thursday afternoons, and it looks like it would have been a good idea to stay buckled up over the weekend, and we're talking some about just exactly why that is. And by the way, if you're listening and you are and you notice that you have some reactions to what's going on, to the conversation that we're having, you notice that you have an opinion or a viewpoint, or you just have some experience that has not been represented in the conversation, by all means, give us a call. You know, pick up your device there and tap 813-239-9663 and let Frank know that you are calling for the first time. We'll see how quick we can get you on the air, we're going to go and talk to Dave in Tampa. Dave, good afternoon. Your patience is exemplary. You're in executive session this afternoon.
Hey, John. I want to broaden the circle of suspicion a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it stops at the White House. If you think back, there was an article in the Washington Post that appeared this was May 17th of 2017. And the headline was House Majority Leader to Colleagues in 2016, I think Putin pays Trump. And
that's like a payroll read.
Yeah. Well, and then as you read the story, you see that House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who's now the majority leader in the House, Republican majority leader, he said in a private caucus meeting, GOP caucus meeting, that he thinks two people are on Putin's payroll. One of them's Trump, and one of them was Dana Rohrabacher, who was defeated, I think, in the last election out in California, but Republican.
Considered considered by some the congressman from Russia.
Right. And Paul Ryan, this happened after McCarthy and Paul Ryan had met separately with the Ukrainian prime minister.
Hmm.
And apparently the Ukrainian prime minister had shared some information with them to suggest that Putin was up to no good in our elections. And Ryan swore everybody in the meeting to secrecy.
Ah.
Now, you start to think about that and what we've just recently learned about the FBI, and then you start to think about how other Republicans have behaved relative to this. Some of them have been rather conspicuous, like Devin Nunes, for example, who just could not do enough to get in the way of any kind of inquiry into whether the Russians cooperating with Trump. I think if you sat down, think about it, you might come up with some other names.
You know what? I have heard people suggest, and this is in the domain of sources often cited by the president. I've heard people say that they wondered if we were to very carefully go through the financial records and the donors of the Republicans, especially in the Senate, would we find any Eastern connections?
Well, you'd find the NRA, for sure.
And yeah.
The NRA is implicated in this as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because the establishment of gun rights groups in Russia is one of the most... I mean, that's like establishing an antelope rights community at Lion Country Safari.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes. That's a good analogy.
Yes. that's not going to happen, but the gun rights groups in Russia then affiliate with the National Rifle Association, and people can pour money into the gun rights associations in Russia, and guess where it can go?
All right. Yeah, to me, as you look at this, if you stand back and look at it, the question isn't whether other Republicans are involved. It's whether which ones were directly involved and which ones suspected it and were in damage control on behalf of the party at the expense of the country.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to find out. It's hard to believe that Trump could get away with this, just the presidential election alone, without at least some enablers on the Hill.
This is why I don't read spy novels, Dave.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
Because it requires note-taking. It just in order to keep things, sort of combed out.
Yeah.
And I think that we are looking at the slowly revealed particulars here.
Conspiracy against the United States.
Yeah, in a very, very extensive and bizarre set of circumstances that. You know, I mean, the Russians are the Russians. There's nobody better at intrigue. You know, I mean, they came out of
better about the details than the Ukraine.
Right? Say that again.
Ukraine. Who knows more about how the Russians operate than the Ukraine? The Ukraine has been the object of Russian abuse and intrigue for probably centuries, certainly at least the last 150 years.
Well,
and I say that because this article was apparently, these comments were made after McCarthy and Ryan met with the Ukrainian prime minister. So the Ukrainian prime minister had something to say to them that triggered Kevin McCarthy to say he thinks Trump and Rohrabacher are on Putin's payroll. Now, who would know better? Who would have more sense when the Russians were involved in the Ukraine? Ukraine's has been subject to Russian abuse for decades and decades.
This is fingerprints.
They know him.
This is McCarthy?
Kevin McCarthy.
That McCarthy? The guy that is at this point standing basically with one foot in Mr. Trump's pocket?
Kevin McCarthy, the guy who handed the gavel to Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, that guy.
Right.
Yeah, that guy.
He said Trump and Rohrabacher are on Putin's payroll. And Ryan said, shut up, that doesn't leave this room.
I bet that's at least what Ryan said.
Right. So why would McCarthy say that coming out of a meeting with the Ukrainian prime minister?
It's a good question. I don't. I recall bits and pieces of that, but McCarthy has.
Go back and read it. Go back and have everybody read.
He has.
Washington Post.
He has certainly corrected himself in the last several months. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much closer he can get to the president without actually crawling in his suit.
Well, food for thought, anyway.
Okay, well, listen, food for thought is some of what we do here. So thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate the conversation. All right, 813-239-9663. This is a very interesting conversation where we look at the facts that since last Thursday, we find that the FBI actually opened a counterintelligence investigation into whether the president was working in behalf of Russia, and we have found out that the president not only met in secret with the Russian president, but has actually taken some rather extraordinary measures to see to it that the contents of those meetings don't get circulated, and that includes among people in his own administration. So there was a lot that went on over this weekend, and we're kind of looking back over that, and we are going to go and talk to Danny. Danny, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you knew it.
Good afternoon. Very interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Bond, James Bond, Trump, Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. This way, he was asked, one female reporter asked him a question before he got on the plane in Louisiana. The same question Perot asked him, were you an agent, were you in for Russia? He goes, no, you know what? He goes, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
I am so insulted that you even asked me that question. That's the most insulting question you can ask. I can think of others, but
yeah,
can't repeat them on the phone. But I'll tell you what. I think now Adam Schiff says that he wants those transcripts. He wants those notes.
Oh, I'll bet he does.
That's right, the Dems should go out there and fight and get them, and we should know exactly what went on, exactly what those notes.
Well, how long do you think it'll take them to call those interpreters before before one of the House oversight committees?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I am surprised. I'm surprised that, well, first off, I was going to say subpoena them, but you only have to subpoena a witness that's recalcitrant. But, they can call those interpreters in, and they could even do it in a closed door session.
Oh, that would be good. I'll tell you what, that should be on the agenda. And it is. Listen, I think I'm with Mueller's investigation and with Cohen, February 7th, and he says, buckle up, Donald. Let's hope that we're going to see a lot of interest. That day should be a very, very interesting day.
Yeah.
And, let me leave you with this. I don't know if you saw Hardball last week, Chris Matthews, but they've already shown it twice on MSNBC. There was a Western, believe it or not. in 1958, short-lived
Western
called Track Down.
Yeah.
With Robert Culp. I don't remember it. I remember I was a Western fanatic. Have Gun, Will Travel, you name it, I saw it. And then there was an actor, a veteran actor, that you see his face, you know who he is, but I can't get his name. He's one of those guys you see all the time on TV, all in different roles. Anyway, he went by the name of Walter Trump.
Yeah.
And there was he promised the townsfolk there that he was going to build a fence. I'm not kidding you. Because there was some trouble there. They needed a fence to be built, and he promised them. And they were like, the townsfolk were like, oh, where can we sign up? Where can we sign up at? Where can we sign up, Mr. Trump? And then they have another scene where Robert Culp, they're in the stable, and the guy's going to get on his horse. And Robert Culp says, we're going to have to put you under arrest. And he says, for what? He says, how about for fraud? How about for theft? And the guy tells him, well, you better watch it because I'm going to sue you. now this is 1958.
Yeah. Well, you know, life imitates art at some point, and you know, you go back and look at say, oh, I don't know, 1984, where we all thought it was really wild that we would have a device in our home.
Oh, I know. That's so true. And this is today. They asked Trump today, too. One of the questions was, what do you think about Steve King's comments? He goes, oh, I haven't been following that.
Yeah.
And then another one, what do you think of Cortez calling you a racist? He goes, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is going to be, she's going to be very interesting. She is going to be she definitely is new.
I like her.
You know, she definitely does not know the ways of the place.
No.
But I got to tell you, that was one of the fundamental advertising points used by the people who wanted to elect Donald Trump.
That's right. Exactly right.
You know,
exactly
right. He doesn't do it that way.
No, exactly right. I like her. She's a fireball. She's great. She reminds me of an idealist from the 60s, and she's fantastic. And we will have to see what we shall see with Mr. Donald Trump.
Indeed. Thanks, Danny. I appreciate you being in here on a nice Monday afternoon. We'll talk again, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Sure enough. All right, Mike and Jack and Joe, we will be with you momentarily. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting Nile Rodgers and Chic live in concert at the Duke Energy Center for the Arts, Mahaffey Theater, Friday, January 18th. Get more info at themahaffey.com.
WMNF's winter membership drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing missjulie@wmnf.org.
This time of the year, it's out with the old and in with the new. If you are clearing your garage, WMNF accepts vehicle donations and will gladly worry about the sale and the paperwork so you don't have to. We will pick up those not-so-cool Hot Wheels at a time convenient for you. Call 888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org and... thanks. And support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. And we go back to the conversation we've been having about the executive branch and the kind of slow creeping revelation that we've been seeing and hearing since last Thursday about the FBI and counterintelligence investigations into whether Mr. Trump was working on behalf of Russia against U.S. interests. Let me see who has been on here for a while. We're going to go and talk to Jack in Dover. Jack, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, John. John, my biggest concern with President Trump is his actions do appear to be a little paranoid with regards to the notes.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you. Did you, after Chernobyl in Russia, I saw a documentary, and I'm hoping maybe you saw it too, where they were hiring subcontractors to take the nuclear wastewater, and they were just put in steel drums, and the only way they identified them were to paint them blue, and they were just scattered all over Russia. Did you by chance
hear about that? I am not familiar with that piece of work, no, sir.
Okay, well, you know, with Donald Trump's record on the environment, I'm gravely concerned that, you know, him and Putin might, you know, make a similar fabu, you know, with regards to something like that, you know, nuclear waste in this country. Or I think Russia could benefit from the science and the scientists here. I don't foresee, you know, our nuclear power plants going, you know, trying to hide, dump nuclear waste out in the ocean or something. But, you know, God only knows what could happen when people do things, you know, to try to save money.
Well, here's my concern about the whole thing. I am clear that there are times that heads of state meet where confidentiality is appropriate. There is no question in my mind that there are subjects that come up for discussion that need to be held confidential. And when the President of the United States instructs the interpreters not to talk to anybody about the content of the meeting with members of his own administration, that's a line.
I agree. That's very paranoid. That's paranoid behavior.
Well, if you listen to Mr. Trump, he seems to consider that he is singled out a lot. He seems to consider, without any reflection on his own behavior, he seems to think that people are picking on him, to use a playground term.
Well, what I don't understand is why he doesn't use Mr. Pence or someone else that's a confidant to be like a second person. That's, you know, that's the way the Marines do it. That's the way the police do it, so that, you know, one person can't say, oh, it's my word against yours. You know, then you have somebody else that's a backup that would listen to the conversation. They know what was being said and they can back you up. Mm-hmm. You know, with what you said, why doesn't he do something like that?
Well, it begs the question, does he want someone else there who can reliably report on the content that he is withholding?
Well, whether he wants to or not, at this point, I would say he needs to. He needs, whether it's, you know, Mr. Giuliani would be a perfect choice, but he really needs to put somebody in his pocket that listens to each and every word that he says, you know, with regards to the security of this country or environmental issues or anything along those lines that are key issues that Americans are really passionate about.
I got to tell you, just the picture of Rudy Giuliani being the second person in the room, the person that we depend on to keep the communication straight, is actually one of the more humorous visions that I've had recently.
Okay. Well, I would even be willing to let you pick the person.
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, that can just direct him to say, you know, don't say that or do say it.
But, well, the thing,
try to hide it if you do say it.
I think that's one of the reasons that his chief of staff position, you know, that people can't even stay in it long enough to keep the chair warm, because if you try and coach the guy, you know, tell him you can't do that, or you shouldn't do this, or you should think about this or that or the next thing. He doesn't seem interested in that. He seems interested in finding ways to do what he wants to do. And if you don't agree with what he wants to do, you are bad.
Okay? Yeah, he picked a very difficult job to do that in.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he knew that. I don't think he knew that, Jack. I really don't. I think he had some vision like he could walk into the White House and run the place like he did the Trump Organization. And oops.
Oops is right.
Yeah.
John, thanks for taking my call.
Sure enough, Jack. We'll talk again. All right. We are now about a minute into the lightning round here. I want to remind you to stay here for It's the Music following the session. They're not quite as hard to find as Bigfoot or a government employee with a paycheck. But listen today for three rare recordings by Bob Dylan, David Bowie, and Neil Young. And you can pledge for tickets to Nile Rodgers, Trevor Noah, Crash Test Dummy, or G-Love and Special Sauce. And it's all on It's the Music today at 2 o'clock until 4, or anytime on online at WMNF.org. Stay tuned after It's the Music for the Traffic Jam. We're going to get you home here on this highly eventful Monday afternoon. Let's see, who's been here for a while? We're going to do Mike. Good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Yeah, you said that we had the option of voting for a third party. I've already committed myself to do that if the Democrat nominee doesn't come out and announce Bill Clinton.
So what you're saying is that if whoever the Democrats nominate, if that person doesn't spontaneously go back, how many years? 20?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, go back to 20 years and specifically denounce a former Democratic president of the United States, you're going to vote for third party. Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
All right, well, I'm clear about that. And I know that it's a cherished right of Americans to vote for whomever they want and to support whomever they want. I urge you to consider the result of scatteredness in the electorate when there is a concentrated, highly activated, highly motivated minority that's going to show up to the polls. Okay? So just think about it.
All right. Well, I very much have thought about it.
Okay.
I've been down the other road before, and I regretted it and wished the election had gone the other way. And I think that these people call themselves Democratic Socialists, like Bernie Sanders and Tejo Patas, they should run in a socialist party and not and a Democrat party, which is a Catholic party.
Well, here's the thing about that, Mike, is that when they say they're Democratic Socialists, they are not talking about Marxist socialism. Mm-hmm. Marxist socialism is the advocacy that the government owns the means for manufacture and distribution. And that is not what Democratic Socialists are talking about. That simply is not what they're talking about.
I guess you call themselves social democrats.
Yeah, social democrats. I think that you may be right. I think that the invocation of the word socialist, especially on for a large portion of the United States population, where I mean, listen, when I was in school, being called a socialist was fighting words.
Well, I think they're more social democrats rather than socialists.
Yeah. So and basically what they're talking about is that they see a role for the government in providing services that benefit the entire country, like educating our population or seeing to it that people have access to at least basic medical care. So like that.
Yeah, I just want to remind you, my name is the Social Democratic Party's capitulation and collaboration with the Nazis was the reason Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany.
We're going to have to talk about that again later, Mike. Listen, okay. It's always good to hear from you, and I'm glad we got to talk today.
Okay.
Thank you. Jeff and David, it looks like we're not going to reach you this afternoon. I appreciate you being there and invite you to contact us on another day and come back in here. This has been Executive Session today on WMNF 88.5 FM. Be sure and stay tuned for It's the Music. Listen for rare recordings by Bob Dylan, Dave Bowie, and Neil Young, and pledge for tickets to Nile Rodgers, Trevor Noah, Crash Test Dummies, and G-Love, and Special Sauce. And right now,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF.